From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Hey, welcome back, Carter.
Howdy ho. It is show 016. I am Paul.
I am Storm.
And we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay.
On average.
On average.
It is Sunday, November 16th. We're recording this show one day early because I'm not going to be available tomorrow night.
Just changing things up.
Yeah, but we'll still put the podcast out on Monday night. And really, when it comes down to it, who gives a shit?
Right, half of you are going to get this on Wednesday or Thursday since our RSS feed still doesn't work.
It works.
Someone doesn't think it works.
Oh, well, no, it's the pot. Boring!
Boring.
So speaking of boring, Storm, run down the big board. Oh, give us the business rundown.
I'm glad you kept going, because
yeah.
It was just boring.
I consider just letting you hang there, but...
No, whatever. Okay, here's the rundown. 32 certified minions, 32%
awesome.
On the Pollen Storm server fund.
Yes, thanks to a large, generous donation of a random number by a certain person who shall go unnamed.
A corporate entity.
Yes, he knows who he is. Thank you for that, you.
And progress on Whedon Watch and McCartney Watch is nil.
Yeah, remind me to talk about that after we get through the rundown here.
Sure. Last thing, Poochie Corner.
Poochie Corner. Who's talking about us?
Well,
what are they saying?
We're getting good, still getting good ideas for our 25 Days of Newman project.
Yes, you can. We're going to have that up and rolling on the website soon. Basically, we're releasing a new Randy Newman theme song one day, every day. I lost my train of thought there right off the tracks. Releasing one per day I was going for from December 1st through the 25th. Free. Entirely free. Can't you wait? I cannot.
Oh, I can't. I mean, this is our gift to the world.
It is.
People are going to be cutting down on their spending, and they're not going to be getting the robots and the fancy dinners with robots
The Stretch Armstrongs and the...
Yeah, and the Evel Knievel stunt cycles.
And the Jesus Christ Superstar original double album set.
So everybody gets a new Randy Newman song every day. Okay, boring.
Boring.
And then the other thing is, I just want to comment that we got some mixed feedback on the last podcast. What you're getting here, it is for you, but it's basically really for us.
As is every podcast for those who create it and really not for anyone else.
But I think it really is for everybody out there to know what it's like to travel with us. And I think
yeah.
It's very honest.
Yeah, I agree. We're not going to change ourselves just for you. And as a matter of fact, I would say a good... You're getting far less poop talk than what it usually is taken up with in the van and in hotel rooms.
Ask Jonathan what it's like to tour with us, and he'll tell you, you folks are getting off easy.
It's a Freudian cavalcade of dreams.
Ooh, that's the front runner for the title so far.
I was intentionally trying to come up with...
Oh, well then. Good,
yeah, I know, Bucks that disqualifies
B,
it.
Bucksby nizzle snort tomatoes. All right, Paul, you seemed a little excited when I mentioned in the rundown that you had a
tidbit. I touched on this last week. Man, I am punchy tonight.
That's all right.
Up with me.
We're honest about...
I'm not going to be not punchy for you.
And that's exciting. That's like anti-boring. You're all
I know.
Wow.
Well, here's
I'm
what I'm going to say.
Cannon.
Anyone who knows me for any amount of time knows that I am a completely shameless starfucker.
Truth.
I really dig meeting the famous and the semi-famous and sort of dig on the fact that some of them actually know who we are, and more specifically, who I am. That's been ingrained in me since I was extremely young, and I got the autograph of a local DJ when I was six, when he was doing a signing in the mall. It was Don Tollefson, I believe, at the Oxford Valley Mall in Pennsylvania, and I can't describe to you how much that meant to me when Don Tollefson talked to me for a good 12 to 13 seconds as I handed him my autograph notebook.
And you have told me your Tug McGraw softball story at least a dozen times.
Oh, yeah. Our high school band went to the Rose Parade when I was a junior, and among the many fundraising activities we did was we put on a charity softball, well, charity, or the proceeds went towards our fundraising to go to California, a softball tournament with the people of Philadelphia National Bank, PNB, and Tug McGraw was a spokesman for them. So Tug McGraw was their guest celebrity pitcher for that. Wow, this is actually a good anecdote. I usually complain I don't have good anecdotes, but wait, this one gets good.
Okay, Tug McGraw, a pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies, for those who did not know.
You gotta believe, used to pitch for the Mets, the 69 Mets, and then he threw the winning pitch in the 1980 Phillies Game 7.
All right, step it up. Boing.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, come on. Get on with it.
All right, fine. Nonetheless, Tug McGraw, cool, famous guy, was their guest pitcher. And I was sort of band clown, so to speak. I was king among nerds when I was a junior and senior in the band.
Yep.
And on advice from our band director, late in the game, I leaned into a pitch that Tug threw, and I charged the mound. How many people can say they charged the mound on Tug McGraw? Of course, then he lifted me up and body slammed me.
Well, sure, he wasn't going to take that from a whippersnapper like me.
From some young punk. But yeah, so anyway, I digress.
And I wasn't
from
saying
my incredibly
that your story...
fascinating anecdote.
No, I wasn't saying your story was boring. Just that you needed to get to it. That was all.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying you're a star
anyway,
fucker.
So anyway, I am a star fucker, and I make no bones about it. And we're getting to a point where we're starting to actually meet some genuinely famous and or semi-famous people. And I remember, this is even before we were as Paul and Storm, back in the Da Vinci's Notebook days, we spent one car trip on the way home from, you know, Boston or New York or wherever we were, just listing famous people who would be cool if they knew who we were.
Right, sort of.
That list has been lost to the ages, but I'm considering resurrecting that list somehow.
I think we should do that. And I remember that Paul McCartney always was.
He was top
high
on the list
there.
Yeah,
but
just a huge random list of celebrities and the status as far as we know as to whether or not they know who we are, have heard of us, have met us. You know, any little stories we might have.
Well, this
brings us back around to the whole Felicia Day, Acknowledgement Day thing. That's what sort of put that list back into my heart when we actually accomplished what we set out to do with getting a internet celebrity to recognize our existence.
Well, there are several things that have been mentioned so far that tie into what I think will be a little interesting meat of topic here.
Go right ahead to meat of topic.
All right, here's what was mentioned, okay?
Mm-hmm.
List of cool people or people that we'd want to meet or respect or admire, whatever.
Yep.
King of the nerds. And then current events. I know, you know, we don't want to be topical really most of the time. However, I think that the election of Barack Obama has an even greater effect beyond the fact of any politics, beyond the fact that he's the first African-American president here. Is why it's so great.
Why is it so great? Oh, Jesus. Shut up, Paul. Go ahead, Storm.
Barack Obama is America's first nerd president.
Ooh.
And I'll tell you where I'm going with this.
Tell me where you're going with this.
All right. You know there's been talk about like a chief technology officer for the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you would agree, and I think you folks out there would agree, that they should appoint like a secretary of leet, a secretary of nerd cool, a geek prince, a nerd hero.
We need a secretary of lol.
Yeah, the lol secretary, the alpha geek.
Yeah.
Now, so I'm opening it to the floor and most determinedly to you, Paul.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, you know, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Wozniak. These are all names that would be obvious choices.
Yeah,
and I have a bunch of folks listed here, but I want to hear your thoughts, and it can be real or fictional, since I doubt that they'd create this cabinet position anyway.
Wow.
And male or female. And I would posit that there are more clear-cut, sort of, maybe not universally known, but classically nerdy characters in an admirable way among the women.
I will tell you exactly who should. Well, I can go in several directions, but the first person who came into my mind and is still there prominently, Eddie Deason.
Eddie Deason?
Eddie Deason is the proto-geek actor. He was in Grease. He was in War Games. He's always the guy. He's got that sort of adenoidal voice like this.
Oh, okay. Well, Jerry Lewis kind of had that.
Yeah, he was a Jerry Lewis for the 80s, but he was more aggressive. Like he was.
What was he in that we'd remember here?
He was in Grease. He was in War Games. He did a voice on Dexter's Laboratory.
Yeah, I know that guy.
Eddie Deason was the go to geek in Hollywood for many, many years. The Deez is awesome, and the Deez is he's certainly, if he's not secretary of geek, he's Professor Emeritus.
The thing is, he certainly represents sort of that geek stereotype.
Yeah, exactly.
In terms of like a personality that sort of us in geekdom would want to hold out as a model, I'm going to lay out a couple of names here.
Sure.
John Hodgman.
Of course. The PC from the Mac and PC ads for the six people who don't know who he is.
If she weren't already our queen of everything, Felicia Day.
Of course.
She's not as well known amongst the everybody's.
Yep.
But she will be, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with the character, not the actress necessarily, Kaylee.
Oh, Kaylee from Firefly.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. You borrowed my Firefly DVDs a couple of months back.
Oh, man.
Worked your way through them, and now you know why I'm on Team Kaylee.
I do, and I'm happily right there.
All of the women in that show are awesome in their own way, but none quite so as Jewel State.
Because she is, at least the character, I honestly don't know much about her as an actress or a person.
Don't have to.
But she's
rather imagine it.
A geek princess.
Yes, absolutely.
And actually, I guess we should back up and describe sort of what that means. It's something that's
have to back up to the term of geek prince. Why don't you go ahead and lay out the origin of the geek prince term?
And I guess we first really noticed this phenomenon in Da Vinci's Notebook, but you do have traditionally sort of a view of geeks, nerds, that is not very positive.
Yeah.
But that far more of geekdom fits into this geek prince picture, where you look at someone and maybe they have some eccentricities about their personality or something that they focus on or whatever it is that you say, yeah, they're certainly a geek, but
it doesn't overcome their social skill abilities.
It does not. And there's
and in fact only enhances it in the right company.
Yep. And I would say there's a high geek prince and princess ratio when you look out at the audience. I'll say that. And I'm not just kissing ass there.
Well, not
I
just
am,
kissing
but
ass.
I'm not just kissing ass.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
So that sort of explains that concept.
Sure, sure. Well, there's, of course, going to be a great movement for Jonathan Coulton to be nominated.
Naturally.
Him being who he is. And then, of course, there'll be the great debate, you know, Hodgman versus Coulton.
Then
they'll dig up the whole dead cat issue, and it could get ugly, especially if somebody calls in Carville and somebody else calls in Rove.
And I think you could, if you were going with sort of larger household names, you could throw out there Matt Damon. That's one of my favorite moments from any movie anywhere was in a
And if
Team
you don't know
America.
What it was, we're not going to tell you what it was. Someone will post it on the comments, and that's fine.
So we don't quote from movies.
Yes.
Ben Stiller, I would put in the category.
He's more of a nebbish than a geek prince, I would say, but
I'll agree with you.
I can see the reasoning behind it, certainly.
All right. Fictional characters. I think a proto geek prince who would be great for this cabinet position, Peter Parker. He's got the scientific knowledge. He's got the the being hung up on a girl thing down
yep.
so well.
Yep.
MacGyver.
Ooh, yes, MacGyver.
He might not think he's a geek.
Good call on MacGyver. He had the mullet,
yeah,
which is distracting from his geekiness.
Well, it was the 80s.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, you can hide your geekiness with a mullet in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really get away from that. Get away with that now. I ought to put a weird one out there. Gadget, the mouse from Rescue Rangers.
Who?
You never saw Rescue Rangers?
The cartoon with
Chip and Dale?
I cannot say I ever saw Rescue Rangers. That might have been a little after my time.
Okay, well, it was mine, too. I think I watched it in college, you know.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't remember how, and I don't want to remember why.
You absolutely weren't stoned when you did that.
Yeah, likely I wasn't. I was more of a drunk in college.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I guess I'm sort of at the end of that. I hope that wasn't boring.
So is this where we throw the gates open to the public and give us your nominations for Secretary of Leet?
Yeah, because
you know what? I've always hated that word. Let's give it a different name.
Yeah. Okay. The Secretary. Just call it the Secretary of Geekdom. I mean.
Yeah.
Well, there can be suggestions for that. We'll put a poll up with some of these folks that we've mentioned, but is there really like a single iconic geeky or nerdy personality that
yeah.
we're just missing or that should be?
Oh, I'm sure there is
one to rally around. We got to
be sure.
There's
20 of them.
Well,
people are furiously composing emails as we speak. And the show's not even airing in for another 24 hours.
Oh,
so.
By the way, we're at just about the 16-minute mark, so yep. the 10-minute mark was 6 minutes ago.
Okay. No, that's a nice ripe topic. I like that one.
Yeah, it's something to chew on. A few other little notes, unless we just wanted to wrap up at this point.
Oh, throw out some notes until I tell you to shut up. How about?
Sure. Let's go with the shut up thing. this is we need your help, folks. We're looking for video editing software, probably for the Mac platform.
Yeah. Yeah. And recommendations welcomed.
We don't have a ton of money. Like, we can't get the balls out version of Final Cut Pro.
Yeah.
But we know there are a lot of programs that are sort of in that, I guess they call it prosumer, another term that's horrible.
Yeah. When I was shopping several months ago, not actively shopping, but looking, it certainly seemed like it was, you know, the big two of Adobe Premiere and Final Cut Pro, like the $200-$300 versions of those programs.
Yeah.
And it was sort of a matter of, you know, whichever you prefer, you know, sort of a Coke Pepsi thing as far as your preference between those. And I guess there's other software out there. Is any of it worthwhile, or is one of those two what we need?
Or,
you guys tell us.
Or should we save up our nickels and dimes and just go for the balls out version of whatever it is. And
I can't imagine we would need that much software for what we're looking to do. We're not looking to do super fancy stuff. Just
no.
more than what stupid fucking iMovie. Oh, excuse me. The wonderful free software provided with our Macintoshes.
I think you've said fuck
did
more.
Did I say Macintoshes? I did say Macintoshes.
Yeah,
right,
with your Macintoshes. Yeah.
On my Apple IIe.
I'm just going to boot it up with the old startup disk.
Okay, so there's that. Boring. Next topic.
Boring. Going to Cambridge with Jonathan this coming Friday.
Yeah, actually, I think we're in Boston proper.
Is it Boston?
I believe it is Boston proper. I could be entirely wrong about that. Going to be at the Paradise this coming Friday, which is the 21st of November.
And this isn't it's not a star fucking thing necessarily, but I'm excited about it anyway. We've met these folks before and hung out with them some in
yep.
in Cambridge and in San Francisco, but the Harmonix folks, the folks
yes, the
who
folks
do the
behind,
rock band game,
yes.
are
yes,
going to
yes.
be there. And I'm just excited about that.
Yeah, it's just cool. The whole show is just revolving around cool geeks.
Yep.
And I think that brings us full circle, so it's probably as good a place as any to say, I am Paul.
He's Paul, I'm Storm, and we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Find us on the web, as always, paulandstorm.com. Feel free to donate to the new server fund.
Look at the super cool, awesome podcast page.
And keep your eyes peeled for the 25 Days of Newman coming soon. Storm, good chatting with you.
Yeah, hope things buck up for you, camper.
Yeah, I'll try and be better.
All right. Well, you folks out there, thanks for listening and do things.
Fairy rose, unripe and sunny flowers, wants a shoehorn, the kind with teeth. People should get beat up for stating their beliefs. He wants a shoehorn, the kind with teeth. 'Cause he knows there's no such thing. He asks a girl if they can both sit in a chair, but he doesn't get nervous. She's not really there. He wants a shoehorn, the kind with teeth. 'Cause he knows there's no such thing. Tour the world in a heavy metal band, but they run out of gas. The plane can never land. He wants a shoehorn, the kind with teeth. People should get beat up for stating their beliefs. He wants a shoehorn, the kind with teeth. 'Cause he knows there's no such thing. What's the sense in ever thinking about the tomb when you're much too busy returning to the womb? He wants a shoehorn, the kind with teeth. People should get beat up for stating their beliefs. He wants a shoehorn, the kind with teeth. 'Cause he knows there's no such thing.